Anybody who's been looking up in the air into the sky during AirVenture has perhaps seen the Geico Skytypers. Have you noticed them? I certainly did.
I did, and I always wondered, how do they do that?
Well, we have somebody who's about to be able to tell us that. Chris Thomas is on the line. Chris Thomas is a Geico Skytyper. Hello, Chris. You there?
Hi, how are you all doing today?
Hey, we're great. Thanks so much for joining us by telephone. Now, you're not in the air presently, right?
No, we just landed. We had our media flight run a little bit late this morning. We flew with Fox Business News, but we're back on the ground. So getting ready for the air show today.
Well, thanks tons for making time for us when we know this is a really busy schedule. So let's get right to Rob's question. How does skytyping actually work?
So the Geico Skytypers, we really do two things. We do an 18-minute low-level air show, but as far as the skytyping part of our operation,
right,
we climb up with the air show has 6 airplanes in it. When we skytype, we actually skytype with 5 airplanes. And if you think about the old dot matrix style printer,
exactly,
we climb up to 9,500 feet, and as you can imagine, with white smoke, you're dependent on a blue background. So we really need a nice blue background, and we climb up to 9,500 feet, and we spread our formation out, and we fly in what's called a line abreast. We put about 2.5 wingspans between each airplane, and what happens is if you picture, if you were to hold your hand out, your middle finger would be the lead airplane, and the two wingmen closest to lead fly about 3 or 4 feet high. And if you were to look at our airplanes, the stripes, the red, white, and blue, it's patriotic. It's got Geico on the side. But all those stripes serve as points of alignment for the pilots to fly formation, whether it's our VIC or, you know,
How clever.
For the skytyping, if you are go to our website, geicoskytyper.com, you look at the airplanes. There is a blue vertical stripe on the fuselage and a white tape or tick mark on the wingtip. And the pilots line those two up. So if you picture that, the white mark is ahead of the blue stripe on the fuselage, it's time to pull some power. So you fly in a line abreast, and the two inside wingmen fly slightly higher so the two outside wingmen can watch the watch lead. Normally it's you kind of shift in your parachute, you sit left a little bit. By that time you're sweating to death on the ground, you go up to 9,500 feet, you got the canopy closed because now you're cold. And what makes it a little bit tricky, say over we'll go a lot of times from New York up to Boston and go over a Sox game, or when we're typing here at Oshkosh, we fly in a circle. And we're really limited to about 2.5, no more, absolutely no more than 5 degrees of bank when you're aloft, because the differential speed between the inside wingman and the outside wingman is about 35 knots.
Wow.
And you can tell somebody, or, you know, you're looking on the ground and, you know, I'm a pilot that's been on the spectator side of the fence. You're looking at the T6. You go, man, look at that airplane. It's big. It's powerful. It's a 600 horsepower supercharged engine. But at the end of the day, you're at 9,500 feet in a 5,500-pound airplane. So if you get what formation pilots are going to call sucked, and, you know, layman's going to call it, you're falling behind in the turn, it's very difficult to catch up. He may have to dive, which you can't see from the ground, but you'll push the prop up. Because we're typically back at about 1,800 RPM and cruise, but we've all been in a position as the inside wing or the outside wingman of falling behind, and you dive a little bit, get some extra speed, or you're going to push the prop up and get back into position. So typing is a little bit uncomfortable. You might fly with a little bit of rudder so you can see lead when you're doing it. But, you know, the core of our business really started with the sky typing operation. The team owner is Larry Arkin, and his dad actually started the business, and it started as a skytyping business back in the 70s. And back then, they used true radio signals to with like a punch tape that fed through, like if you picture the old computers where it was tape, and it read the signals and sent out radio signals to the smoke valves of the other airplanes. With today, the boss flies with a tablet on his leg, typically with a backseater, so the boss can focus on the messaging and where we are and ATC and things like that. But he flies with a tablet on his leg, and using Bluetooth technology and some proprietary software, the messages are then kicked out. And what sky writing is individual letters. Sky typing, it's an old-school dot matrix printer, so the messages come out very quick. you can put out something the size of a skyscraper in about a minute and a half, and uniquely it's readable from about 15 square miles in any direction. So it's really a very effective means of advertising.
Something, Chris, when you are briefing the flight, when you get to 9,500 feet, obviously the winds are usually a little stronger than they are on the ground often. But what is the maximum upper level wind that you can operate in and still have the message remain longer than, you know, 2 minutes?
Yeah, so really anything below 30 is considered acceptable. Yes, but it really depends who you're typing for. You know, we have a couple contracts. Obviously, we're sponsored for Geico. So during our summertime up in New York, the team's based in Farmingdale, New York, we type messages for Geico. But occasionally, you'll have one-offs. I'm going to call those wedding proposals, or a famous person that's putting out their new album. And they'll say, and the boss will talk to the client and say, well, the winds are pretty strong. It may not stay together. And they'll say, I want it anyway. And in that case, he really draws the line about 35 knots, but if you have 10 or 15 knots, you're going to have a great product. 20 knots, still pretty good. When you start hitting 30, you're going to lose it 7 or 8 minutes later. But we put out a good amount of smoke, so it really lingers to the point of when we're in places like Oshkosh, I fly typically in the number two position on the boss's right wing. But we'll come back around again on a second orbit, and I can still see the lingering smoke from previous messages when we have winds aloft like this.
So Chris, I have a question. I'm assuming you don't take this show somewhere and practice and then bring it to EAA, so the first time you do it is the time you're doing it. Is that right?
The air show or the sky typing?
Well, when you do a sky typing event anywhere, you don't go somewhere else and practice the routine first. You just show up to the event, you know what you're going to do, and you just do it. Is that correct?
Yeah, so really, it's a single business. It's a single business, but for sky typing, we have a cadre of about 12 pilots that have the ability to sky type, because over summertime in New York, every weekend we're pretty much up there putting up messages. For the air shows, our air show requires 6 pilots, and that's very specific because, as you know, formation is designed to be safe. It's designed for airplanes to fly close but not hit each other. So when we fly our air show demonstration, our 18-minute low-level demonstration, that's very specific pilots. And so we actually, we use FAA order 8900, and we maintain specific currency. So when we show up for this, we just flew an air show. Last one was last weekend in Kansas City. So we're coming in practice, and obviously the first day is rehearsal and whatnot. And so for the air show pilots, they're all very experienced sky typers, because pretty much everybody gets their start with the summer sky typing.
That's Chris Thomas, who's a sky typer with Geico. Chris, thanks so much for being with us. I'm sorry, but we got to go because Rob and I have to give the studio up to the next guy. You're listening to EA Radio.